Welcome to XP Ministries. This recording is under copyright laws and cannot be replicated. This file is licensed for one user only and cannot be duplicated without written permission. We pray that this recording will bless and empower you.
All right, if you wanted to turn in your notes to lesson 15, this is actually our last lesson in your manual. We've gone through the entire manual and here we are. And to be honest with you, this is one of my most exciting lessons. I just love it. It's one of my life messages and I feel so excited about teaching it. But I wanted to feature a CD. This is called Kingdom Economy. And the Lord has given me, a faith level for this particular subject. And when people have listened to it, they said they really got it. They said, I listened to it, I got it, you know, and it's like breakthrough has come. So I would suggest, you know, the word doesn't return void, but it accomplishes everything that it's sent to do. So when you get the word on kingdom prosperity and economy, and it gets sent into your mind and into your heart, it doesn't return void, but it accomplishes in you everything that it's sent to do. So you're going to be really blessed. And you can get this online if you're not here and can't get off the book table. You can get it online. It's called Kingdom Economy. And I just have this word of knowledge that there's someone that was is here. And in this last 3 months, things have shifted for you in the area of finance. It's like there was some kind of a demonic pressure against you, and it's almost like you thought, I've got to break a curse, there's something wrong. Everything shifted. It was about 3 months ago, around the beginning of the summer, that this happened, and your financial situation shifted. And over this last while, you've been struggling. You don't want to be afraid, but you've been fighting fear. Who is that? Is that you? Oh, you're laughing away there. Okay. All right, there you go. That's for you. And let me just... Heidi, why don't you stand up? I'm actually gonna prophesy over you right now because I'm just getting a word. As I handed you that, I got a word. Whoa! And the Lord says, yes, there is a shift. Yes, there is a shift, but it's unto glory and not unto destruction. And the Lord says that there are new things. He says, fear not, fear not, fear not, for I am a good God and I have good things for you. I have good things for you. I have good things for you. And I see doors opening. And in these doors, you're going to use the things that you've learned in the past, but it'll be in a whole different way. It's going to be in a whole different way. You're going to step into things that are different. But the Lord says His blessing is upon you and that you're not to fear. And you've been questioning certain things. You've been wondering, well, I'm here, but well, I wonder if I should shift over here. I wonder if I should do that. I wonder if I should go there. And there's been like this whirlwind of whoa, questioning. But then every time the dust settles of that whirlwind, it's like you feel a stability that doesn't make sense in your mind. And so the Lord says, do not fear, do not fear, do not fear, do not fear, do not fear. For He has brought you for such a time as this to this place that you are standing in, that you might be thrust into a whole new dimension. But He says it's different, it's different, it's different. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And I have a sense of that exact word is for someone else. Maybe you're watching by the DVD or maybe you're in the room, but if you feel quickened by that word and you were just thinking, oh, I wish that word was for me because it fits me, then it's yours too, because God can orchestrate words like that, you know. So how many of you felt that word was for you? I had this feeling, I could feel this pull on that. Okay, well, let's talk right now about one of my favorite subjects, about supernatural, heavenly provision that comes from the glory. And as we have been studying, we know that Philippians teaches us that our God shall meet all of our needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So when you get acquainted with the glory and you start living by faith in the glory dimension, you will find that there's a place where you can just receive provision out of that place. In fact, there is like a treasury room in heaven. There is a treasury in heaven. You know, when God planted things in the earth, like with a tabernacle and stuff, that is a pattern in the earth of something man-made, but according to the pattern of God in heaven. And there is a treasury in heaven. There are rooms and there are chambers in heaven. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many dwelling places, are many rooms. And one of them is just a treasury. I've been there. I've seen it. I've been there often. You can go there and receive what you have need. You can boldly go before the throne of grace to obtain mercy, to receive grace. Grace is His divine influence and provision. You can go there to receive grace to help in time of need. And I think that so often, the reason why we don't shift into the miraculous is because we have grown accustomed to being in fear in the natural. We've lived in the natural and we live in fear. So when pressures come, instead of moving into faith, we move into fear. I remember years ago when our children were little, my husband came home just before Christmas, and he said, our company's laid a whole bunch of people off. They're trimming everything down, and probably it's going to be for 2 months or more. And I said, glory to God. You know, and we had been used to, you know, living on what came in. We budgeted with what was there. And I thought, glory to God. And he says, well, it's right before Christmas and everything. I said, well, you know, there's no time like the present to trust God. I wonder what He's going to do to give us the most wonderful holiday. It's just going to be amazing. And look at this, you're probably going to be home for, which is going to be great. You know, we'll have a wonderful time. But I said, let's not stress out over it. Let's just one day at a time. We're going to trust God every day to meet our needs. Give us this day our daily bread. And so often we are so afraid of tomorrow that we put the spirit of fear in our tomorrows, because when we think about tomorrows, we get afraid. So you're actually projecting the power of fear and unbelief into your tomorrow. But if you can start sowing seeds of faith and expectation into your tomorrow, by the time you get there, it'll be waiting for you. The provision will be waiting for you. And just believe that you are a blessing magnet. You know, you were created to be blessed and to live in the blessings of His glory realm. And if you believe that you are a blessing magnet, then you will attract the blessings. I'm a blessing magnet. I can't help it. I just am. And the blessings come. And they just keep coming and they stick to me. You know, that's like what a magnet does, right? You have to pull them off to give them away. Boom! I'm so blessed. Whoa, this weight of glory, it's so heavy, you know? And that's how you can live. That's how you're meant to live. Start confessing it. Start believing it. Start taking hold of it. And when the enemy comes and tells you different, say, no, you're a liar. You're a liar. You're just jealous because I'm blessed and you're cursed, you know? Anyways, let's look at this right from the very beginning, because we know that when God created man, it says in Genesis 1:27 that God blessed them. Everyone say blessed.
Blessed.
You're blessed.
I'm blessed.
God blessed you. You were created to be blessed. It says God blessed them, and God said, be fruitful and multiply. That's what he spoke over you. Be fruitful and multiply. You have the word of God spoken over you right from the very moment that he thought of man. He said, be fruitful and multiply. Woo! He didn't even say be fruitful and add. When you're in the glory, it's about multiplication. I had a faith project for the ministry, of a project that God wanted me to do. And so I was believing God in increments, because it was kind of a big project. And at the time, I couldn't wrap my faith at that point around the whole thing. And so I thought, I know how you eat an elephant, one bite at a time. So I'm going to break this thing down in increments that I can believe God for. And so I started out, and I started believing him for the first increment, and it manifests very quickly. I thought, glory to God. Okay, now I'm going to go for the next step. But the next step was only an addition. I wanted an addition of so much more of this provision needed to fulfill this project. And the Lord rebuked me. He said, I never called you to be fruitful and add. He said, I said be fruitful and multiply. And the lowest dimension of multiplication is double. So he said, you can't believe for anything less than double. And I thought, wow. So if you're believing for one soul a day, and that one soul a day lands up multiplying, then you can't believe for an extra soul per week, or point whatever of a soul per day. You know, you can't do that because it's only addition. The lowest that you should be believing for is double, because you're in multiplication. It should be two souls a day, and then four souls a day, and then 16 souls a day, whatever. He says, get used to believing in multiplication. You've got a whole world to win out there. Be fruitful and multiply. And so God's been challenging my faith in this so that I will line up with what he commanded over mankind as a blessing. Now, we know, of course, that through the fall, man made a huge mistake. And instead of submitting himself to the rule of this awesome blessing God who had blessed him and commanded this multiplication and fruitfulness and all that, so that he would be increased in every good thing, he goes and submits himself to a real jerk. And so he submits himself to the devil. The devil's a bad devil, and he's not into blessing, he's into cursing. So mankind comes under the curse. So at that point, no longer does everything just come easy. You see, when God speaks a blessing over you, it comes. Your labor in the blessing is called F-U-N. It's like, yay, we get to do this. Oh, goody, goody, yay, you know. And it's like, it's so much fun serving the Lord. And everything he calls you to do, it's just fun. There isn't one thing I do in the ministry that I don't love. I love it all. It's just too much fun. All of it is fun. And that's the labor in the Word. In the Lord. You know, in the natural, I probably work more hours, if you want to call it work, labor more hours than probably most people in this room. But it doesn't feel like work. It's not toil. Because before the fall, man never toiled for anything. He never had to labor with sweat and everything to make the ground grow. He didn't have to do that. All he would do is speak to the ground, and he would act like his God, and we'd say, be blessed and multiply, be blessed and multiply. And he would get to steward all these blessings because he was in the glory. Everything grew big. Everything multiplied. Just like in Guatemala, when the glory hit Guatemala in that city. That's why all the radishes grew like this, and carrots the size of my arm and stuff like that. You know, great big things and lots of it because of the glory. That's how it was before the fall. It just sprung up. And but after the fall, man came under the curse. He came under the curse. And it says that man had to bring forth fruit from the earth with toil and with hard labor and with sweat. But that's the curse. Many Christians today still live under that mentality. Now, I believe in diligence. I believe that diligence is a godly characteristic. Laziness is like... laziness is inexcusable, really, because when you've got the diligence of the Lord on the inside of you, there's no room for laziness. It's like you're always productive. You're always, you know, releasing things, because that's the nature of the glory, and that's the nature of Christ. And the scripture teaches a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and suddenly poverty will come upon you and all that kind of stuff. That's just the nature of that kind of mentality. But our diligence has to be with the joy and with expectancy and in the glory. But when the fall came, man no longer could labor in joy. He could no longer speak to things and see them come forth. Now he had to labor and sweat and make things happen out of his own will and hard work. And he'd work and work and work, and hardly anything would come forth. And that was just labor. So he would have fear and wonder, how are things going to work out? And I better work some more because I got to make sure I have enough. And if I don't do enough, then I won't have enough. And I'm not free to be, because I have to do. And that was the nature of the curse. We fell from the glory of God. We fell short. We sinned and fell short of the glory of God and lived under the curse. But we are no longer under that curse. Why? Because Jesus came and redeemed us from it. It was God's heart that we would live in fullness. It was always his desire. We were the ones that cut ourselves short of that. And when Jesus died on the cross, he opened the heavens for us, because he took all that sin into himself, the very thing that put a wall between us and the glory. He took that upon himself, paid the penalty for us, and freed us and said, here, have my righteousness. I want to restore you back to the glory. I want to restore you back to your original state, where you will be fruitful and multiply and live in the blessings, and all these blessings will come upon you and overtake you. This is your portion. That's why Jesus taught things like out of John 15, where he said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you shall ask what you wish and it shall be done. For we cannot bear fruit unless we abide in him. Bring us back to fruitfulness. How do we become fruitful again? It's by being in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. That's how we're going to be fruitful and multiply. He said in John 15, he said, I have ordained you that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will do it for you. He will give it to you. Wow. You see the parallel? We're right back. We're being brought back into that fruitfulness that Adam had in the very beginning. We are restored in Christ. Christ became poor. In 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, he became poor. He took on your poverty. He took on that cloak of poverty that mankind had received through the fall, and he took it upon himself and gave you his prosperity. He wants us to live in supernatural provision. He wants us to live in the original state. How do we get there? It's by faith. By accepting what Jesus did. He did it for us. He did it for us. He can open up portals of blessing. He can download out of his treasury whatever you need. Do you know that Peter set Jesus up to pay taxes? Peter set Jesus up. He says, yes, my master and I, we pay taxes. He was just talking off the top of his head. Jesus had to say to him, come on, Peter, I don't have to pay taxes. Do you know who I am? People should pay me taxes. Do you know who you are? But Jesus said this to Peter, but so that we don't offend them, go fishing. You like fishing, Peter? I got to give you some fun today. Go and catch a fish. The first fish, I want you to look in the mouth. You know, there's a great big piece of gold. Yes, Peter, now go take it and give the government some money for me, some money for you, because we don't want to offend them. I learned something when I read that. I thought, glory to God, I don't have to pay taxes. I haven't paid them since. I don't believe in it. I don't pay taxes. I give them. I like doing it the kingdom way. The government doesn't take my money. I give it to them. You know, you calculate it all out and see, okay, the government doesn't have that. I'm giving it to you. You're not taking it. I'm giving it. It's just a different attitude. Give them more. I tried that one year, but they just kept spitting it back because the computer didn't know what to do with it. I said, it's a tip. They didn't know what to do with it. They said, our computers don't, it doesn't work that way. So they kept sending me back the check. Glory to God. You see, when you live in the kingdom mindset, it's different. It doesn't even make sense. We were doing a business deal. In fact, over the last number of years, the Father has been teaching me. Do you know that Jesus said, I'm about my Father's business? He didn't say, I'm about my Father's ministry. I just noticed that a few years ago. I thought, wow, Jesus, you're about your Father's business. I want to be about my Father's business too. Father, teach me about kingdom business. I want to be a business person for you. Teach me about business. I want to be like your son. I want to be about my Father's business. And so he started teaching me about kingdom economy and how it was different, how the way he does business is different. So we were engaged in a business opportunity that ended up being a portal to preach the gospel. So one of our team members went to negotiate with one of the leaders of this group who we were going to be doing business with. And so the group said, well, it's going to cost you this much money. And our team person said, no, Patricia doesn't believe in paying for it. And they said, well, what do you mean you have to pay for it? No, Patricia doesn't believe in that. We want this product, but we're not paying for it. And they got a little bit uptight. And she said, first of all, Patricia wanted me to give you this. And this has nothing to do with our business deal. She just wanted me to give you this to help you in what you're doing to advance the kingdom. And he opened it up. It was a check for $12,000. The Lord had told me to give that group a gift. I'd ask him for seed. If you ever want to give a gift and you don't have the seed, you just ask him and you'll be surprised how he gives you the seed. It's amazing. So the guy was stunned. And he said, but you don't want to pay for this product? No, Patricia doesn't believe in paying. But we're going to give you. We're going to give you money. I'm not talking about the $12,000 here. That's extra. But we're going to give you, on a monthly basis, we're going to give you more than what we would pay you if you were to want to charge us this amount of money. And she said, would you trust us on this? I said, well, I'll have to talk to my superiors. He gets on the phone. This group, they want our product, but they don't want to pay for it. They want the product, but they don't want to pay for it. But they're saying that they'll actually give us an offering every month that will be more than what the product is worth. But we have to trust them. What do you think? They said, let's give it a try. So we signed, and they agreed to all of our terms. Oh, don't you just love this? They agreed to all of our terms, and we've been able to bless them enormously every month. Like, they're just shaken up. In fact, three times more than what they asked, at least three times more every month. At least three times more every month what they asked us for. And you think, well, what do you think about that? You'll end up paying more. No, we didn't pay anything. Do you get this? We didn't pay anything. We gave it. Do you understand what that means? When you give, it's seed. When you sow the seed, you get multiplied return. If you just pay a bill, that's all you've done is just pay a bill. But when you sow, you have seed that you get multiplied return. Now you might think, well, that's ridiculous. You could have got that product for less money than what you give them every month. But you see, what we did was we said, no, we're not paying for that product. We're going to sow into you and you're going to give us that product for nothing. But we're going to sow into you. We need this product. We're going to have this product and we're going to give you a blessing. We're going to sow into you and you're going to sow into us. We set them up to operate in kingdom economy. Do you know that since we did that, it's been 1 year, we have received millions of dollars of benefit from that which we have given, because the seed got multiplied. If we had paid the bill, that's all we would have had, is a bill paid. If we paid for the product, that's all we would have had, is what we paid for. But no, instead, we sow the seed, and we get tons back. Do you know, in times when I feel tight financially, I think, okay, God, who else can we sow into? This is a sign we've got to sow more because we need more. Every time God gives us a bigger project to do, I think, okay, God, we've got to increase our giving. We always increase our giving before we ever get more, because we know the principle of sowing and reaping. We know the way kingdom economy works. But you've got to start thinking in the supernatural dimension, because it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense to the natural mind that you would do it that way. It doesn't make any sense that you go to a business person and say, we want your product, but we're not paying for it. We just want to be a blessing to you. You're going to be a blessing to us. We're going to set you up so that you can be blessed. You're going to give to us and you will be blessed. And we're going to give to you, and we will be blessed. We're all going to get blessed, because we're going to do this the kingdom way. You know what they told us? They said, we really like this way of doing that. It's a good way to do business. Yes, it's our Father's business. And you know what happened? The gospel spread all over the world as a result of it. We can't even determine how fully fruitful it is. We just know what the Bible says, that we've been fruitful and we're multiplying, but we can't determine the full influence of it, because it's so big out there right now, we cannot count the effect of it. It's too big. It's beyond what our minds can understand. And we increased in favor, and this was just 1 year ago, and now we've increased in favor beyond that, and they're offering us big stuff now. They like us. We got favor with them because we told them, we're not going to pay for that. You're going to give it to us for nothing. And they ended up loving us. We're favored in their sight, because we did it a kingdom way, because we understand the way seed works. Do you know that one of the wonderful challenges of being fruitful and multiplying is that the more fruitful everything is, the more people are needed to look after the fruit. And so we always have this need for more workers, more workers, more workers. It's just like more workers. And you think, whoo. More people on staff, more people look after, more of this. And so when I say, okay, Father, I need more seed to sow. I want to sow into this person so they can be recruited into the ministry. So I need so much money per month to sow into their life so that they can serve you. And he gives it. I always bring people on before I have the money. It's a seed project. Because my Father says that if I need seed to sow, all I have to do is ask him. It says in my Bible that he furnishes me with seed to sow. I want you to get this. That's why I took the offering before this session. I'm not taking an offering or anything. I'm not receiving an offering. I just want you to get this. I want you to understand the way this works. I want you to live according to the kingdom, because as soon as you do, you'll enter into the realm of the miraculous. It doesn't make any sense to the mind whatsoever. You follow the Holy Spirit. You follow his leading. It is so amazing the way it works. Whatever you need, if you have a desire to sow seed, then just believe him for it. I had a desire. There was a missionary out on the field who was struggling to have their needs met. When I heard their heart's desire and their needs, I thought, Lord, I want to give into that. It says we'll have an abundance for every good work. I thought, I want to sow into that. That person is valuable to you. They should not be forgotten in this way. Oh, grant unto me that I could have seed to sow, my God. And I said, I want this much seed to sow. I want to give them $1,000 into their budget every month. I want $1,000 every month. I want to commit to them. And I asked them for the green light. I said, if I commit to $1,000 per month, would you give me the seed every month to sow? And I felt him give me a green light. And so I contacted them. I said, I'm going to support you with $1,000 per month. I didn't wait for the $1,000 to show up even. Because I know, my God, I've seen him do this so often when I need seed to sow. Now, you've got to start with what you have faith for. Maybe for you, it'll take a lot of faith to have assurance for $5 a month. And if that's the case, you go with where your faith is. But don't stay at $5 a month next year. You should be having more faith because you'll see the faithfulness of God over the years as he's good to you, as you're fruitful and as you're multiplying. And so I made a step, and every single month, it's been over a year now, and every single month, God has given me that money to sow into their ministry. And they're doing a great work for the king. It's awesome what they're doing. Nations are being transformed because of their life. And we got to sow into every life because we're sowing into them. Glory to God. Not only that, we sowed into this missionary. I mean, we sowed into lots of missionaries. We sowed into this missionary, but now we've got a whole missions department. God gave us a whole missions department. We were fruitful and we multiplied. We sowed $1,000 into this one missionary, and now we've got a missions department with a $3 million budget for this next year. Glory to God. That's awesome. You see how you get it back? And so I stand on that stage. I said, Father, we have sown into this missionary, this missionary, this missionary, this missionary, this missionary. In faithfulness for many years, we'll continue to sow that. But hey, businessman daddy, I want my thousandfold return right now. I need it because we're going to demolish the sex trade for you. Now, I have a right. Because the way my daddy does business, he expects me to be a good person in business too. So he gets thrilled when I say, hey, daddy, I made this investment. It's in the treasury up there. And so now I want my thousandfold return so I can go demolish the sex trade for you. Yes. And when I make a demand on that which I have sown, he's happy to release it. Amen. You say, what are you talking about? Demanding God? Amen. He likes it when you do that. He's a good businessman. And he likes it when his kids do business. He likes it when you believe his word. He says, ah, way to go. You're doing it just like I told you. This is awesome. You're passing business 101. This is very, very good. And we get to fill the earth with the glory of the Lord. See how it works? This is kingdom economy. Sowing and reaping is one of the most powerful laws in the Bible that you can live by. And the law, when you live under the grace of the law, it's not like you don't have to obey this law to be saved or to be loved by God. You could give absolutely nothing to anyone at any time. You could give nothing into any good cause, and you would still be loved by God, but you would have nothing. That's all. But you'd still be loved by God. You'd still be saved. But you get to give. You get to live by his laws. You get to live in his economy. It's amazing when you start living a life of faith. He'll call you. He'll trust you to do things. And you look at yourself and think, oh my gosh, I can't believe what I'm doing. I'm not educated to do it. I've never had the history in this. I don't have the experience in this. But my God is allowing me to do this. Why? Just because you believe. Because you're living by his promises. He uses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. It's just amazing. Oh, I hope I can ignite the fun of this into your spirit. In the kingdom, it's so opposite from in the world. You know, in the world, it's like, okay, I gotta really scrimp and save, and I gotta do without here, and I gotta, you know, I gotta, trim this, and, after all, I'm getting 55, so I better learn how to live on nothing. That's what the world says. You got to watch it. Retirement's coming. 10 years. You're 55 now. Just think of how you're going to do. How are you going to do? This insurance man came to try to sell insurance to me one day, and he says, he was talking to the wrong person, I tell you. I was just like, he got a little bit of the gospel, though, so that was good. He said, have you seen these people at certain stores? They're standing there shaking the hands of those who come in and, you know, passing out tickets and that. I said, yeah. And he says, do you want to be one of them? He says, they're not there because they want to be. They're there because they can't make ends meet, and they're there to put food on the table. That's why they're 65 years of age and shaking people's hands at the doors, because they got to do that to put food on the table. Do you want to be one of those? And I said, if I ever stood at one of those doors shaking hands, it would be because I'm called to do it. I would have a blast. I don't need no insurance policy to get food on my table. And I don't have to go shake anyone's hand at a door and pass out stickers to get food on my table. It comes from God. I have food every day. Too much of it. And nothing's going to change when I turn 65, because my God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Says, well, you know, you got to be really careful right now and put this much money away and, you know, really make a sacrifice now so that you can eat when you're 65. I thought, oh my gosh, you poor guy. This is how you make your living? I've got the best life insurance policy in the whole universe. Yes. His name is Jesus. Yes. He's the same yesterday, and yesterday, today, and forever. I'm investing into my future. I've got so many stocks and bonds in the heavenly places. I've got so much to draw from in the heavenly places, because I've spent my whole Christian life sowing. I'm going to have one happy life in my latter years. The latter glory of this house is going to be greater than the former. Not because I'm special. Not because of, you know, more better than anyone else. It's because my God's word is true. And that's what kingdom economy is all about. It's living by the word. Give us this day our daily bread. Oh, he's so faithful. Do you understand that? If you have opportunity to sow, sow. Now, when you're sowing, I'm off my notes, I don't care. When you're sowing, sow with intention. I've heard Christians say, you know, I like sowing. I just kind of throw it out all over the place, and I like it, but I don't like this part about expecting anything in return. You know, I'm not into that. I think that's not right, that people, if they're going to sow, they should just do it because they love God. They shouldn't sow to get something in return. But you're not about your Father's business, because that would be a stupid business operation. If you were a farmer and you had a farming business, you said, oh, I just love to sow, but I'm not into those farmers who sow with an expectation to reap. I just think that's awful, that they would have a motive in their heart, that they would sow corn into their field just so that they could get corn back. No, I'm much higher than that. I just throw it out because I love sowing. I'm a sower, I'm not a reaper. Well, I'll go reap what you've sown then. If you don't want to reap what you've sown, I'll take yours. How stupid is that? How ridiculous is that? How can you be fruitful and multiply if you just throw it out and you don't go and collect it? Do you know that a lot of Christians are so good at sowing, and they sow by faith, but they don't know how to reap by faith? See, everything in the kingdom operates by faith. So when you sow, the Bible says that that's a good thing. Genesis 8:22, God made a covenant with man. He keeps his word. He says, as long as the earth time, or as long as the earth remains, there will be seed time and corresponding harvest. There will be sowing and reaping. It's a law. Can't fail. Your daddy made that covenant. So if you sow in faith, that's a good thing because you're fulfilling part of that. But what about the reaping? You have to reap in faith too. We're so afraid to reap because we've been told by religious spirits that we shouldn't have anything. What kind of glory is that to the Lord? What kind of mentality is that? Are you going to be poor in heaven? Are you going to have nothing in heaven? Whew. If you believe that, you haven't been to heaven yet. Heaven is so full of glory. Read your Bibles. There's, you know, fruit that is there all the time. There's trees that never wither, never die. You know, every month bearing fresh fruit, fresh fruit, fresh fruit. Water, gems, crystal sea, rainbows, you know. Just, I mean, glory everywhere. No crying, no sorrow, no poverty, no death. No sickness, no disease, only everything extravagantly good. Amen. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? Amen? But a religious spirit has gotten in there and makes us think that, you know, we're more holy if we have nothing. Oh, I'm so righteous. And I'm so poor. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. What kind of glory does it give a father when his kids aren't even dressed properly? If you had a child that you loved and you sent him to school with clothes that are all torn, although that's a style these days, but clothes that are all torn and holes in the bottom of the shoes. I mean, you know, if that wasn't the style, you know, and, you know, just everything like poverty. People would look at the child and say, "Oh, poor child. The father maybe isn't working. Or maybe it's a single parent trying their best to look after this child, but let's come to their rescue." That's how you would feel. You'd have compassion on that child because of their lack. And you think the poor parents need help. Well, if God is the parent, he doesn't need help. When God is the parent, people look at his kids and say, "Wow, what an awesome daddy. What an awesome father you have. You are so loved. You are so cared for. You are so blessed. Can I join your family?" Are you getting this?
Yes.
Do you know it says that one of the blessings that will overtake us, come upon us and overtake us out of Deuteronomy 8, is that all the nations shall fear us. All the nations shall stand in awe of us. I don't know anyone. I don't know any nation yet that's standing in awe of us. I hardly know an individual who's standing in awe of the church. Why? Because I don't think we're glorifying our Father yet like he's going to be glorified. He says, "All the silver is mine. All the gold is mine. All the earth is mine. All that it contains and all that dwell therein, it's all mine and I'm giving it to you." Why? So that he can be glorified. So that we can help the whole earth come into alignment to his purposes. Do you know that there is power in wealth? In Deuteronomy 8, he says, "I give you the power to obtain wealth." But there's power in wealth. Do you know that those that are rich in monetary goods, even if they're evil to the core, they have power. And they use their finance and their provision to get power. But it's a false power. It's not true power. What's it going to be like when the church rises up and has all the resources, when God says, "All the silver and all the gold is mine," we finally get that into our head, get all the gold, all the silver, and hold it in the church's hand and start doing good with it, and we have the power to do what's right. We're not going to get that way by, well, I'm so holy and I believe in being poor. I sow my seed, but I'm too holy to believe to reap. You might as well just hand it over to the drug dealers and the sex trade cartel owners, and might as well just give it away like that. Because if we don't fill the earth with the glory, if we don't possess and occupy, then there's someone else that will. Amen. And when Israel was called to go into the promised land, they were called to go in to possess and to occupy and to knock the giants out of the way and to go and take all the spoil. They took all the spoil of the enemy. This is our church to go in and get all the spoil. How are we going to do it? By understanding the glory, what's in the glory for us, so that we can fill the earth with the goodness of God. And I tell you, there's people in this room that are going to escalate in areas of resource and provision that's available to you. There are people in this room, many of you, that will be truly millionaires for the glory of God. And millionaires, that's not that hard to reach anymore. People that God can trust to steward those resources to fill the earth with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Hallelujah. There's businessmen today that God has blessed that are going to be used to truly go about their Father's business. I know some of them personally. They're amazing people, and they're looking for ways to advance the kingdom with the resources that are giving. God's blessing them back with abundance because of their faithfulness. We haven't seen anything yet. Do you know that the sex trade is a multi-billion dollar industry out there? The drug trade, multi-billion dollar industry. Church, we got to do something about it. We're the ones that know the one who has it all. We have to go and conquer, possess, and occupy. How are we going to do that? By faith and walking in this kingdom economy that we've been called to. And we can do it one day at a time, one life at a time. You know, years ago when we first started the ministry, we got so attacked by poverty and lack. Those spirits tried to get us, but we wouldn't give in to those spirits. We stood on the word of God, and we said, we are not allowing this to come into our house. We refuse to believe that those things could have us, because we examined the word from Genesis to Revelation. We said, no, your word promises, God, that you will provide. Your word promises. We're going to do everything the way that you say it. We are going to do it for your glory. And we stood for 5 years, and it got worse and worse and worse, but we refused to turn back. We refused to believe anything but the Word of God. We stood on that Word of God, and we stayed on that Word of God. We said, we're going to stay on this Word until it manifests. And there were some nights that I cried myself to sleep. I said, oh God, we are serving you with all of our heart. Every moment of the day, we are serving you. We are giving. We have never, ever withheld a tithe. We have chosen to do without ourselves in order to give to you. What's going on? The heathen out there, there's so many of them that have more than us, but we rejoice in you. We don't understand it. We're crying out to you. But oh God, we'll serve you because we love you more than life itself. I've cried myself many times to sleep with prayers like that, but we refused to come off the Word of God. Do you know that after 5 years, I was driving down the road one day, and I was praying, I was crying, and I was on my way to a prayer meeting, and I said, oh God, I worship you, but there's got to be a breakthrough. I decree the breakthrough, and all of a sudden, in the Spirit that day, I felt the breakthrough. I got a revelation from the Lord, prayed into it, and I felt in the Spirit, I felt the whole thing break. I felt everything get settled that day, and I started laughing. I said, it's done. It's done. Nothing had changed in the natural. Nothing had changed in the natural. I was driving a car that we called the Revolt. Now that, you know, we probably shouldn't have made such a horrible confession over it, but it had a hole in the floor that you could put your foot through. The heat didn't work. I had to wrap up in blankets and everything and tie the doors together with a rope because they couldn't shut. And that's how I got around to meetings back then. I was determined to get to them. When the car would break down the highway, sometimes I had to hitchhike the rest of the way, but I determined to go preach the gospel. But that day, that one day, I felt it breaking. I thought, this is it. this is it. The trial is over. We're on the other side. I knew. And within the next couple of weeks, everything started going. And then God sent us into Mexico, into one of the poorest places in Mexico. And we lived amongst the poorest of the poor for the next 3 years, did an 8-year stint in Mexico, lived there for 3 years and turned everything around and saw the poor come into fullness. And God gave us money to build homes, to build medical clinics, to feed the poor every day, to clothe them every day. We had so much. We had boatloads of clothing and truckloads of food sent to us. We had so much. We had to get extra warehouses to put it all in because we couldn't give it away fast enough. We had so much. We couldn't give it away fast enough. And all that faithfulness over the years, over 5 years of sowing in pain sometimes, giving our last slice of bread, almost literally, many times over, and sowing in our time of need, all of a sudden the heavens were open. And we had so many blessings, we couldn't even handle them all. We started out with 8 people on that team willing to give up everything to serve Jesus. And they came with us. We had no money to begin with, nothing. We barely had gas for the car, but we went and gave everything we had. And over the next 3 years, we prospered. We not only had one vehicle, we had 6 vehicles. We had 6 places to live. We had buildings, and we were building buildings. And we had everything that we needed and more. The heavens opened. The glory manifested. We were helping other ministries who were poor like we had been. And we were able to pour into them and still pour into ministries like that to this very day. And we're never without. We're a prosperous ministry. Prosperity that every believer should walk in is that we have enough to glorify and honor our God and worship. We have enough to meet our own needs and enough left over to help others meet their needs. And every time you have a desire to pour into another person's life or another ministry's life, all you have to do is ask Daddy for some more seed and it's yours. I've learned this over the years. Oh, it just gets better and better and better and better. And I've learned that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when you live like that, the world never has you. I don't have any love for money. In fact, money is an earthly currency. You won't find money in heaven. All money is paper. It can burn. That's all money is. It's numbers inside of a computer. A glitch can wipe it all out. But riches and glory, that's eternal. You can have everything. If everything I have of a worldly substance you can have, but you can't take away my provision. You can't take away the glory that my Father has given me. I'm a blessed daughter because He is a good God. You are a blessed son. You're a blessed daughter because He is good to you. Because He's a master businessman. And He wants His kids to be about the Father's business. Filling the earth with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. What a way to live. All the days of our life without fear, without restraint, doing everything that He says to do. All we do is just say, yes, Daddy, we'll do that. It's going to be fun watching you make it all happen because we don't have it in us to do it. Yeah. Only You can do it. This is what we're called to. You can access all the blessings by faith. We've been offered wisdom. I just want to probably close on this because I know it's getting late, but wisdom. In wisdom's left hand is riches, honor, and long life. In wisdom's left hand. Wisdom will not only show you how to make wealth, it will show you how to steward it and how to maintain it. And a lot of people's provisional problems are because of poor management. But we have wisdom available to us to show us how to properly manage that which we have been called to steward. Make wisdom your closest friend. Make wisdom a close friend, because wisdom will teach you how to move forward into fullness and how to maintain everything that God gives. Wisdom. In wisdom's left hand are riches, honor, and long life. Hold her hand. And Jesus has been made wisdom unto us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anytime you want, you can ascend into the council room of God. He said in Jeremiah 23, he said, if the false prophets had have stood in my council, which means the place of council, if they had have stood in my council chamber, I would have given them my counsel. But they did not, so they operated out of their own carnal understanding. You can rise up and counsel with your Father concerning finance, concerning resource, concerning wealth, and he will teach you concerning his ways, and he'll open the doors of the treasury to you and show you what is yours, because he has this interest program that is beyond anything that you can ever find in this world. You sow. And I used to teach 30, 60, 100 fold. Not anymore. 1,000 fold. You don't get interest like that anywhere in this life. And if you go into your treasury room, you'll see what's yours. You know, we've sown cars and we've sown houses and we've sown furniture. And what did we get back? Cars, houses, furniture. We sew clothes. I sew so many clothes. In fact, I might bring a whole bunch of them tomorrow and just give them away to whoever wants them. I sew clothes, S-O-W. Every month, practically, I'll give away clothes. And almost sometimes within an hour or so after I sew clothing, more comes. It's the nature of kingdom economy. If you need a new car, you might want to sew a car. If you need a new house, you might want to sew one or sew into someone else's. This one ministry, when they knew that we were getting our building out here a couple of years ago, they sewed their entire building fund into ours. Within 3 months, the Lord gave them 100 acres. Wow. We got half an acre. Isn't that awesome? If you need a vehicle, you might want to sew into someone else's. It's just awesome. You want new clothing, sew into someone else's clothing. Praise the Lord. Okay. Well, there's some confessions there for you for resource and provision, daily confessions. These are ones that are in our little decree booklet. But you sow the word into your life concerning provision and resource. And that word doesn't return void. It accomplishes everything it's sent to do. How many of you love the glory? Awesome, isn't it? It's so full, and it just includes so much. I can't believe that we've just gone through 16 lessons on the glory, the introduction, and 15 lessons. It just seems like we've been together just for a moment. But there's so many dimensions of the glory. Isn't it awesome? And for those that are watching by DVD, I just want to say that right now you can step into a brand new release in your life. Step into the glory. Step into the fullness of everything that God has for you. And I want to invite you to partner with us as well if you feel so led to join our breaker team. You can find more about it online at xpmedia.com as we together fill the earth with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Amen. Give the Lord a big shout.
For more information about Patricia King and XP Media, visit us online at xpmedia.com. We look forward to building relationship with you. xpmedia.com.